This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today is the Holy Saturday Vigil. It takes place between the time of crucifixion and resurrection. And in this time, things become much more elemental, much more elementary. We reach down to the very foundations of being, which in the ancient world were seen as the four elements, air, water, fire, earth. And on this day, all lights are extinguished, and a new flame is blessed, is kindled, a new candle is lit, the triple candle. And the flame is brought into the sanctuary. The lights are lit from it. And also, thereafter, the baptismal font is blessed and prepared for baptisms. In the blessing of the new fire, fire and air are mingled. This is the incense. This is the alchemy, the symbolism of incense. In the blessing of the baptismal water, earth and water are mingled and made one. The salt is poured forth into the baptismal font. To make baptismal water, to make holy water, which to be baptized. This is, in many ways, the low point of the story, the lull, the time between. Most of the scriptures don't have anything happening in this time. It simply passes. There is the entombment of the Lord, and that is all. And there is a latency, a waiting for something that has been worked out to be made manifest. In more orthodox view, this is the bodily resurrection of Christ, the empty tomb. It's very much the sense of you can take it with you. The body might be killed, but we can make it better. It's really like $6 Million Man. We can make you better, stronger, faster, more holy. And this brings us to one view of what all this means. This was not the first view. This was not the most prevalent view for centuries after the fact. To the events that are the seeds of the stories that we celebrate during this week. There is sort of what I call the common defense of a bodily resurrection, and that is, well, these apostles wouldn't have died for the risen Christ if they hadn't have believed it, if they hadn't have seen him in the flesh. Well, that's assuming that people don't die for their beliefs and their convictions nowadays or in other times in history without seeing a physical risen Christ either. It's one of those extraordinarily weak arguments that gets paraded out again and again. What people are willing to put themselves in the line for is for something of a transcendent truth, something that they know so deeply they cannot deny, something that they are themselves, and that is gnosis. Having gnosis of Christ means that you can walk in the world unafraid, that even in this darkest day, this day where death seems victorious, where the powers of the world seem victorious, we can instead begin, initiate a new cycle, light a new fire, bless the water. There are those who will take the baptismal mystery on this day, initiating their life in the mysteries of Christ. So it is a faith, a sense of pistis, a sense of trust, that this is not the end of the story, and that the story goes on. Indeed, that this dark day is instead of an ending, it's a vigil. It's a time for looking out for these more subtle, more true presence, the divine, to come forth into our lives, into ourselves. In many ways, it is very elemental to us, so much a part of our very fabric of being that we may not realize it. Until we have the gnosis of that, it just seems like the way things are. It doesn't seem divine, doesn't seem transcendent, doesn't seem particularly interesting, because it's always been there, hasn't it? But given gnosis, given consciousness, giving a way to experience these parts of ourselves, and we realize their true nature. While we are made up of many different things, many different elements, the elements brought forth tonight, air, earth, fire, and water, these traditionally were seen as that which combined to make that mysterious wholeness through some process. The alchemical process of unifying things, of freeing the divinity in matter, is what is reflected from our own souls. All of that is a mere shadow play upon the wall, shining from the light that is within us. We enkindle the light in the outer world. What gives us pause to feel that inner spark, that light forever kindled within us? When we mingle salt and water for the baptism, it reminds us, for our own baptism, of that mystery of initiation. Initiation as beginning. Beginning our own process and journey, and our own participation in that mystery. And with the receptacle for that light, the Paschal candle, we have a great symbol of Christ as light. Not Christ upon a cross, not even a physically resurrected Christ, but Christ as the light of the world, that nothing can truly dim, nothing can darken. As the prologue of the Gospel of John says, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot grasp it, can neither understand it nor obtain it. It shines on. This point in the story of Holy Week has been the triumphal procession into Jerusalem, the Passover Seder meal, Last Supper, the foot washing, Christ and the disciples. It has been the celebration, the round dance, singing of the hymn of Jesus. There's been crucifixion, there's been bodily suffering and death. But this was explained to John in the Acts of John as not being what this is all about. And this was explained to him in a vision of a cross of light shining in the darkness, saying, "What they have said of me, that I have not suffered, and what they say not, that I have suffered." Leading us to this deeper suffering of our divine nature and the limitations that it finds itself in the cosmos. But with those limitations, with that suffering, there is also great potentiality, great potential for growth of consciousness, growth of gnosis, growth of spirit in the world. So seeing that, recognizing the divinity suffering in the world, ourselves as nailed upon that cross, we turn today to this period of waiting, this vigil, this time of latency. We have within us all of this, if we but realize it. And sometimes it needs time to expand outward, and to grow. Metaphor is of a seed of light, and you can't just tell a seed to grow. It has to be given proper nourishment, place, time in the seasons of the world, time to grow within us. It's not ours to merely wish it to be more than it is. So, today is a day like that as well. We begin, but things are not their full flowering. Begin working out this process of the resurrection, the inner resurrection of Christ, of being able to see him yet again, experience him. But it is not yet come. That is tomorrow. Today, we wait. But we know it will come. And that is trust, pistis, faith. And we also know that it will come because we have awoken the gnosis of who we are, of this divine story unfolding within us, echoed and echoing from within us, transforming in some way the greater cosmos by that awakening. We can bring into our lives this power of the moment, that even in the heart of darkness, even when death seems triumphant, We ourselves have the power to initiate new things. It will reveal the divine yet again. The ability to rebirth ourselves, to be reborn as in the baptism, to be swept away, to wash away the grime, the gunk of the world, and see again who we truly are. To be illumined by the light as we see it within ourselves and outside of ourselves. So even in this time, the darkest time, we can see how we unfold the divine in the world, how it is the result of our actions, of our nature, of our participation, even as it is its own unfolding that we find in the world as well. It is all part of the same process, the same thing. And we, in following this story today, can tie in to the original story and the original experience of the disciples to some extent, to the death of the great initiator and teacher, the one who seemed to be more a part of themselves than they were themselves, in whom they saw the divinity that they could not see within themselves. Losing this figure, losing the beloved teacher, beloved Lord, is devastating. But through that loss, there is the discovery, the realization that he cannot be lost. It is never lost. Divine is always present with us. The light always shines, no matter how dark our despair may seem. And the divine story is forever unfolding within us, without us. And we are forever part of it. So as we touch these elemental items, initiate again foundations of this church through a new fire, new blessing of holy water, we can see our part and our participation in the divine life of Christ. We are a part of him. He is a part of us. The story can never end. It will never end on Holy Saturday. Every lull, every darkness, every passage through the desert will end. But the light of the Lord and the love of God will never end. They are always there, always a part of us. May the blessing and mystery that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, remain with us always. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.